I kept thinking while we were singing, I probably shouldn't sing along all those songs and get a dry throat before I get a chance to speak tonight, but I couldn't resist that. Something special about music, and it just really speaks to our hearts and I think raises our praise up to the Lord. So well, Christmas Eve greetings as we gather this evening for this candlelight service. This is my second consecutive Christmas Eve candlelight service. And I thought about asking the elders if I might qualify as a preaching, as this is to be a preaching series similar to what Bob and Warren and Bruce do. But I'm not sure preaching that often is my calling. So we'll see how this goes. A year ago, tonight, I was speaking on 1 John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, the passage that the Claykel family read for us. That is such a profound passage of Scripture because it is so clear. Clearly informs us of the deity of Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Warren quoted that verse last Sunday and explained that the Word is a reference to Jesus. And it helps me to really grasp the truth of this verse by inserting Jesus' name in place of Word. And so I'm going to do that for us this evening. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was God, and Jesus was with God. Jesus was with God in the beginning. God could not have made this any more clear to us. But my emphasis last year was the beginning of verse 14. Which says, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. John MacArthur said that this verse, verse 14, this is the most profound truth of truths. That is why we celebrate Christmas, and because God, the Son, became flesh. So tonight I want to consider John 1, verses 4 and 5, which says, in Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So I want to lead us through the scripture, starting in Genesis, looking at the spiritual realm of light and darkness. I want to present four truths of scripture, starting with God creating physical light. Then spiritual darkness comes, followed by the life of light comes, and then I'll conclude with walking in the light. The symbolism of light and darkness is used throughout the Bible, representing good and evil. And when God created light, it was an immediate victory because it overcame the darkness. The light of God's Word and presence begins in the book of Genesis and concludes in the book of Revelation, where we see the Apostle John being transported into heaven. He sees the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, and this is what he saw. The city has no need for the sun or moon to shine on it. The glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. Revelation 21, 23. There is no need for any kind of light from the sun, the moon, the stars, or any kind of physical light in the New Jerusalem, because the glory of God and the lamp of the Lord Jesus Christ will be the light. So our first truth is light, physical light is created. God created light to start the beginning of time as we know it. Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good. And he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the night, the darkness, he called night. And there was evening and there was morning, the first day. So God created darkness first, which was over the formless and empty earth. Then God's first creative words were, let there be light. And again, there was light. Notice that God said that the light was good. And he separated the light from the darkness and called the light day and the darkness night. Theologians point out that this light is not the sun or any celestial body, as those were created on the fourth day. Instead, it is the supernatural light that reflects God's glory. So the second truth for tonight, spiritual darkness comes. After God created the heavens and the earth, he then created man and woman. God placed them in a garden in the east called Eden. God gave Adam a very clear and simple command for living, saying, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die. I think we all know the story of Adam and Eve being deceived by Satan and eating the fruit from the tree that God clearly told Adam to not eat from. As a result of this disobedience to God's command, verse 23 of chapter 3 says, so the Lord God banished him, that's Adam, from the Garden of Eden to work to the ground from which he had been taken. And thus, spiritual darkness enters the human race. It did not take long for this darkness to reveal what it is capable of doing and its devastating effects on mankind. Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel. They each brought a sacrifice to the Lord, and the Lord was pleased with Abel's sacrifice, but he was not pleased with Cain's, because God knew Cain's heart. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast, the scriptures tell us. So God speaks to Cain, and this is the first time the word sin appears in the Bible, Genesis 4, 6 through 7. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. The Hebrew word for crouching is robos, and is used here in the figure of a crouching animal waiting to attack its victim. Notice at this point that God is giving Cain a gracious warning by saying, sin is crouching at your door, implying this crouching sin is still outside the door, and Cain must master it. But Cain did not heed God's warning, and he let sin in and rule his heart. I must say, as I prepared this short message, the metaphor of sin crouching at your door was such a vivid truth of sin's temptation and how I should react to temptations. 1 John 3:12 reads, do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. This story of Cain and his brother Abel is a stark reminder of the darkness of sin and its devastating results on mankind. This scenario of sin crouching outside one's door is recorded throughout the Bible, and is ever present with us today. Pick up any newspaper or watch the evening news, and you will read and see the darkness that is so pervasive in our society and our world. All this darkness is caused by sin in the hearts of those who walk in the darkness. Solomon wrote this Proverbs for us. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Proverbs 4:19. The darkness of this world has no remedy apart from the spiritual light that is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as John tells us, again, I'm going to read John 1, 4, and 5. In him was life, life, and the life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The third truth for us this evening, the life of light comes. The prophet Isaiah foretold the coming of a deliverer who will be a great light for those who walk in darkness. Isaiah 9, verse 2. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. Again, the prophet Isaiah then describes the Messiah and his character. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Amen. We're now going to move into the New Testament and pick up our storyline in Matthew and the coming of the promised Messiah, who is the light of the world. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream because he was pledged to Mary. And the angel said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. John Piper, in one of his sermons, said this, Jesus is the light of the world because he comes from the Father, and he speaks for the Father, and is going to the Father, and is one with the Father. The Apostle John said, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world, John 1:9. In John 8:12, when Jesus spoke to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The darkness that Jesus is talking about here is the darkness of sin and the darkness of this world and the darkness of Satan. Again, John Piper said, Jesus being the light of the world means the world has no other light than him. If there is going to be a light for the world, it will be Jesus. It is Jesus or darkness. There is no third alternative, no other light. And now our fourth truth, walking in the light. When I consider this verse, John 8:12, I wondered, is it possible to never walk in darkness? To never sin or never follow the world or never give in to Satan? If you look closely at what Jesus is saying, he gives us the answer. He says, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. The key to avoiding sin, the darkness of sin, and this world, and of Satan, is to follow the teaching and example of Jesus Christ according to his holy scriptures, the Bible. Pretty simple. But the first step to following Jesus and walking in his light is to recognize and acknowledge the sin in your life that has completely separated you from a holy God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. But here's good news that Jesus brought to earth when he was born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. But God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus came to earth 2,000 years ago to pay for all our sins by taking our penalty of death on the cross. That's what John 3:16 tells us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The Apostle Paul said it this way, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. There isn't enough time or space to tell of the glorious and heavenly blessings of knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior and the light of your life. But here's what the Apostle Peter wrote. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into the wonderful light. 1 Peter 2:9. I want to close with comments from the late John MacArthur in one of his commentaries. Jesus Christ alone brings the light of salvation to a sin-cursed world, to the darkness of falsehood. He is the light of truth. To the darkness of ignorance, he is the light of wisdom. To the darkness of sin, he is the light of holiness. To the darkness of sorrow, he is the light of joy. To the darkness of death, he is the light of life. Praise God. Let's pray. Loving, gracious Heavenly Father, your word is amazing. Father, the truths that are in your word, if we just would read it and apply it, it's so clear, Father. The things you teach us, the things you ask us to do, they're not hard. You've promised to be with us, never leave us. You promised to strengthen us. Give us what we need, Father, to serve you. Father, I pray as we have gathered here this evening to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And yet, Father, the life that he lived, that he showed us, and came to give his life for us, to pay a penalty that we could never pay. But he was willing, because he was obedient to you. Father, may we be as Christ and follow after him. Father, I thank you for our time this evening. I thank you for an amazing year that you have given us here at Wichita Bible. I thank you for all these people that I think love you and want to serve you and serve one another. The love and unity, Father, that I see each day is amazing, and it's to your honor and glory. We praise you, Father. We thank you. Continue to watch over and bless us as we celebrate the birth of your Son. And we thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen.